Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this March 17th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. It's a gorgeous day in the Auburn Opelika area. Hope you all stayed safe throughout the weather over the weekend, whether you're here in Auburn Opelika, across the state of Alabama, wherever you may be. We're glad that you're with us on this Monday afternoon. There is so much to get to on the show today as the brackets are officially here. That's right, the NCAA tournament bracket was released last night thanks to the selection committee. We'll talk about that. Of course, break down all of the potential matchups, including Auburn's path to the Final Four. Whether you like it, whether you don't, whether we like it, or whether we don't, we will break that down, plus kind of recap what Champ Week had in store, right? Conference championship winners, conference tournament championship winners, that is. Plus, talk a little Auburn baseball as they get a big win over the weekend to start off SEC play. And then Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network will join us coming up in hour number two. So looking forward to all of that talk this show this week. There's so much happening. We've got an announcement to make later on in the program about a special event coming up on Thursday. So there's a lot going on here on ESPN. Joining me in the studio, as he does every single day, is Christian Griffin. How are you, my man? Happy Monday to you.
Yeah, happy Monday. Happy to be back. Missed a couple of days, but happy to be able to get back on here. The perfect time to get back and get back healthy. Thank you for holding the fort down. I know you not necessarily used to it anymore, but you had quite a few days back in the days of holding down the ESPN studio. Ooh, by yourself. But again, really excited to be able to sit down and break down everything. A really, really bad couple of days for some food poisoning. But hey, if you're going to have it, why not have it during the SEC Championship Week? Because it delivered all of that and then some.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, phone lines are going to be open in just a little bit. We'll get your reactions to the NCAA tournament bracket. We'll get your reactions to Auburn and their path. But we are going to get to all of that here on the show today. You could shoot us a text if you'd like. 334-784-1067. That is the On the Line text box, 334-784-1067. You could text us there your thoughts on everything going on in the world of sports. And before we get to the bracket and before we get to Auburn being the number one overall seed, Champ Week has come and gone, right? You've got conference champions now. You had the regular season champs, and now you've got the tournament champs. And we understand why that's important for so many leagues across the country who are considered one-bid leagues, right? The MAC or the Mountain West or the SWAC or whatever the case may be. I mean, there's a lot of those conferences that get one team into the tournament, and that's what makes those tournaments so exciting. But you start looking around at leagues like the SEC or the ACC or the SEC, and you enjoy the tournaments. And I think we did enjoy those tournaments last week, Christian, but in the back of your mind, at least for me, you just know, like, man, it doesn't really matter. And that's what we've talked about so often, and so much so how this plays into what happened with the NCAA tournament bracket release. Once again, they showed, I don't think it really matters for the big conferences what you do in your conference tournaments, because they've already made up their minds.
They have, and it's frustrating, because by no means do you want to say that the individual game does not matter, because that's not something that competitors have the mindset of. You know, you're playing your rival against Tennessee, you're playing your rival Alabama. Yes, those games matter. And I think that it's a soft mindset from the standpoint of saying that from the players and the coaching that it doesn't matter. If you're Bruce Pearl and you're the players, if you're going to go play the SEC tournament, go win it, right? You lose to a Tennessee team, and that's all. That's the story. You lost to a Tennessee team. You beat yourself, especially down the stretch. That being said, in the grand scheme of things, if you are not Auburn or Tennessee or Alabama or Florida, those teams in the Final Four of the SEC Tournament Championship, then you do realize that there is a much, much bigger picture to everything that is going on. And then you look at the tournaments outside the SEC, where the Big Ten or the ACC or even the Big East, and you're seeing some of these winners take the Auburn way from last year, where they win it and they seem to drop seed lines, or they go in to the tournament as one seed, not one seed, but as one seed that they think they have. You win three games and all of a sudden the tournament committee comes and, oh, we're three behind what we thought we were. Or there's teams that were 100% slated in 111 of the tournament bracket predictions and they get completely left out. And it shows that, yeah, it's despite it being something that matters in the moment and to some of those schools because of the rivalry games, they're not going to be around for much longer. I think it's safe to say it. It's what we've talked about even on the college football side of things. It takes one school in one sport to do it, and I don't think it will be too long from now. And the perfect example is Louisville.
They absolutely should, yeah. And you go into it and you simply ask the question, what do I have to benefit as a team, as a program? What do we have to benefit by playing in this conference tournament? Or in football, what do we have to benefit by playing in the conference championship game? Because there's no legitimate answer. And if they do give you if they were to actually give you an honest answer behind closed doors, right? If they, with no self-incrimination, right? We'll use some legal jargon here, right? They would tell you, yeah, you're probably not going to move any. You're not going to move up any unless you win and we have to put you in and put you higher because you won the conference tournament. But yeah, if you make a run to your championship game, yeah, we've already made up our minds. We don't really care. We don't really want to put you anywhere, and we don't want to do more work is what it comes down to. Sure. And so that's kind of where I'm going, because Auburn, of course, loses on Saturday afternoon to Tennessee in a game that Auburn didn't play well, but yet you're still within a couple of buckets and you had every chance to win. I think it was clear Tennessee wanted it a little bit more. They ran up against an extremely good Florida team, which nobody was surprised that the Gators won the SEC tournament title. But nobody's talking about Florida having a hangover. Nobody's talking about Florida struggling in their first couple of games of the NCAA tournament like we were talking about Auburn a year ago. But I want to remind people that Auburn was not a one seed a year ago. Auburn was not one of the best teams in college basketball at this time a year ago. They were playing like it, but they were not one of the best teams at the top three or four, like we all think Florida is. So my question to you, Christian, and to Auburn fans who can text in to the text box 334-784-1067, is there or should there be disappointment for Auburn falling to Tennessee in the SEC semifinals? Should there be disappointment for Auburn losing to Tennessee in the SEC semifinals? You can break that down if you want to. Should there be disappointment in Auburn losing to Tennessee in the SEC semifinals on Saturday?
Yes.
Why?
Because I think Auburn needed that one win in the SEC tournament. They got it over Ole Miss. I think you wanted another win over a different tier in the SEC, rather than Ole Miss, who you feel like is kind of right in the middle of that tier B, right? Not necessarily playing your best basketball. And yes, I understand that if a shot against, if Jani Broome's buzzer beater goes in, we're completely talking about a different story. Or if Chad Baker Mazzara's three against Tennessee goes in and it possibly goes to overtime, it's a completely different story of how the mindset is. Yet, I think Auburn wanted that win and you're a little bit disappointed that you didn't get it because you wanted to kind of have that confidence of we can go beat one of these teams that has the ceiling of a national championship. They have the ability to go and win it all. And you were unable to do that. However, I think that there are plenty of factors that you can look at in that game and in the tournament as a whole that you can very easily go correct on the practice floor. You just hope, for an Auburn fan, from a player standpoint, that you don't have to crank it back up like you did in the regular season, right? You feel like early on you had the mentality of this team is good. We don't know how good they are yet. They'd go in and they would demolish teams. You feel like towards the end, with the understanding of the SEC is locked up, a one seed is locked up, that the foot might have gotten taken off the gas, complacency could have kicked in, and that could have played a bit of a factor. But again, I think if you go in with that mentality, I think things change. You just hope that it doesn't have to get riled back up, because that's what could ultimately happen in the round of 64 or even the round of 32.
And I think we have seen and heard from a large group of the Auburn fan base that has said, look, the SEC tournament didn't matter. And you and I have talked about how the tournament, from a NCAA tournament perspective, yes, the SEC tournament does not matter. But for each individual team, there are certain things you're trying to accomplish. And we talked about that at the end of last week, about what we wanted Auburn, or what should Auburn do in Nashville. And they somewhat achieved that. And that's kind of what you were talking about, by beating Ole Miss, but falling short against, like you said, I'll say a Final Four caliber team in Tennessee, one that could go on a run and beat some people, right? But we've talked to a large group of the fan base for Auburn that says, yeah, I don't care. We're still really good. When we're ready, when this team decides to take it seriously, which they have for most of the year, they can beat anybody, because you saw it in November and in December and in January and most of February, right? You saw it from this team time and time again. And I don't think that's a false confidence, Christian. I don't think it's a false confidence at all. But I do think there should be some concern of, it's really hard in sports for sure, but even in life, when you're just going super hard, super focused, just nose to the grindstone of just not letting up. And the moment that you do, it's really hard to restart and get back to that level.
It's easy to get going again, but it's really, really hard to get back to the intensity that you initially had.
And
I think that's the concern of why you at least wanted that one win over Tennessee to show, hey, we can beat two really solid tournament teams in back-to-back days, because that's going to be similar to what each weekend is going to look at, like what you were talking about.
And I think, too, because of this being sports, right, people are forgetting that as the season has gone on, there is more film and there's more examples of how to compete and beat Auburn. Like, you have to remember that. This team in November and December, nobody had any idea. And teams like Houston and Iowa State and North Carolina and Purdue, they had no chance against this Auburn team, because they were playing extremely well, they were catching people by surprise, and Auburn was just dominating people, right? But as SEC play started, more things begin to happen. You start to find trends, you start to see some separation, and you could say this about any team in college basketball, yes, but to be one of the top teams and have that target on your back constantly, people put extra time and extra effort into strategizing a game plan versus you. And I think we have to realize that for this Auburn squad. And we're going to talk more later about this team's path to a Final Four, a national title, things like that. I'm just trying to get a grasp on the mindset coming out of the SEC tournament, losing to Tennessee, but still securing that number one overall seed.
Yes, and I think that goes what you were talking about. It's something we've talked about for a couple weeks on here, and it's a lot of conversation off air of, I think that the SEC fan base as a whole has gotten really watered down to the talent of the SEC. Not saying the talent is bad, saying that you've almost become accustomed to how good the talent is. That's the LeBron James example of if he was in his first year this year, he would be in the MVP discussion. Mm-hmm. But because he's done it for what feels like 80 years, it's just a nightly routine. That's what he's done for 20 plus years of, oh, okay, yeah, it's perfectly fine. You get a little bit watered down. The tournament is going to bring out a new reality, and you're going to see it a little bit more, in my opinion, like what you saw in the preseason, because you're not going to have that many days to scout a team. You're not going to be able to run these different sets because you understand that there's weaknesses. You don't have to play an SEC team and a top caliber opponent every single night. Obviously, when it gets a little bit further, you will.
Sure.
But the talent level from top to bottom is so, so different. And I think so many SEC fans and teams are just ready to get out of conference play and go play on somebody else that hasn't had all year to scout them.
And you get to, you know, you use this as a reset, right? You get to travel, you go play neutral site, you play a team you've never seen before. I mean, the matchups that Auburn could have throughout the tournament are going to be fascinating. And again, we'll get to that as we go throughout the show and throughout the week. But I think that's where I stand right now is I'm still very confident in this team being one of the best in college basketball. But it's scary because they're not playing their best right now. And you hope and you wish that they get back on track. And this will be the first time, truly the first time, that you've seen this particular Auburn team play with their back against the wall. Because every team is playing with their back against the wall. It's win or go home now. Nashville was not that case. Maui was not that case. SEC play was not that case, right? This is a true situation of this is it. You have one guaranteed game. And it's on Thursday at 1:50 in the winner of a play-in game between St. Francis and Alabama State. You have one game. And I just have confidence in this team, as mature, as old, and as skilled as they are, and I say those things respectfully, you trust them to do what they have to do in the NCAA tournament. And whether that leads to a national title or not, I don't know. Only time will tell. But I kind of feel that way about it, and I think most fans are that way. It's a cautious optimism is what I'm going to use to describe it right now for Auburn fans. Lots more to get to here on the Monday edition of On the Line. A full bracket reaction. Who deserved to be in and who did not deserve to be in? Plus some of the great matchups in the first round. We'll talk about all that and more as we're just underway here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
We continue on here with the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, just underway in hour number one. And it's one of the greatest times of the year, right? The bracket has been released. Selection Sunday was yesterday, and we have the bracket completed, and it's just so pretty. I love looking at it. I love printing it out. I'm old school. I love printing my brackets. I love writing in my brackets.
You slept with it last night, didn't you?
I did.
That
yeah.
is night one tradition.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I did. I actually I used it as my eye cover last night.
Sure.
No, I love it. I really do. And like I said, I'm old school. I remember growing up, man, in school, I would print 50 of these things and would fill them all out. But I've gotten, as I get older, I've realized rather than filling out just a bunch of them, I only fill out two or three because I don't know why, and it's so weird, but when I would fill a bunch of them out, it's almost impossible to cheer for anything.
Sure.
Because you have so many different possibilities and so many different brackets. You're just hoping that one of them survives, but it turns out they would all be dead by the first day anyway, and then it's like, well, crap, I just spent all that time doing it, right?
Yeah, it's knowing that this team I have going to the Sweet 16, but in my other bracket, that one's still 94% right, and I have them losing in
exactly.
the round of 32, so I don't really know which way to go.
Yeah, so now in my older age, I just fill out a couple. And yeah, I say older age, but as I've gotten older than when I was in grade school, I only fill out like three or four. I typically fill out like my first reaction bracket, which I still haven't done, admittedly, but my first reaction just first time looking through, scribble in, see what you got. Then I'll fill out one throughout the middle of the week, typically have an Auburn bracket, right? Which, funny enough, this year could be your legitimate bracket. And then I've got one where basically my ride or die. What's your strategy? What's your bracket filling out process?
I have four. And I agree with what most people decide to do. Most people, the argument is three. There's the hurry one, the one that you say as soon as it comes out,
the first
you
reaction,
don't think twice about, and you don't backspace. You just write, and you go, and you click the next one. There's that one. There's the one that your heart wants, which most cases is the one, oh, Auburn's a 12 seed or whatever.
Let's find
a way to throw them in there. That's the heart. Then there's the head. You use your mind and actually try and come up with one that you think is your best. So the hurry, the head, the heart. And then the upset alert, where you just pick every single one, and you have a 13 seed winning it over a 16 seed play-in game, and it's that one mixed in with we used to do a tournament with like all of my buddies, and it would be whoever can get the lowest percentage also walks away with like what they put into the pot.
That's funny.
That way, it's like if you can lose every single game, or if you can only win 2% of your games, and you can actually pick the upsets incorrectly.
That's awesome.
Like it was a whole lot of fun.
How much research do you put into each particular one? I mean, the first reaction one, not, but like you're the one that you are like, this is it. This is the one that's going perfect. How much research do you do in terms of matchups or trends, right? There's so many factoids, and we'll talk about them as the week goes on, especially Wednesday. More on that coming up in just a little bit. But all the trends, right? The 12s versus the 5s, or the teams that have been ranked in the AP poll in week 6 have gone on this far. Like, there's a ton of them that you've seen over the years. How much research and numbers do you put into your ride or die perfect bracket attempt?
I wouldn't say that it's as much of like the statistical only 71% of the 4-13 matchups are in favor of the 4 versus 51, like stuff like that. But it's much more matchup based. You look at the tempo of the team, something we did a little bit last night, and all of a sudden you see things of, oh, this team shoots 38% from 3 against a team that likes to play in a half-court set. You could see a little bit of things like that. I got a text that says, I forgot to, there's 5. You also pick which mascot would win.
the mascot bracket.
And funny enough, that's the one that is usually more accurate than any of them.
That's the process of my mother.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And
it normally works.
Exactly. It's weird. But no, like when you're sitting there looking at like an Oregon Liberty, a good example of a team that can really score the ball, and Oregon has a lot more size versus Liberty, who is completely run and gun. That was the team that shoots, 36.5% or 37% from 3, but that's also more shots than most teams shoot from 3. So, yeah, I'd say that there's a decent amount of statistical game-by-game research that goes on, but not as much of like the since 2000, this is how many teams and no double-digit seeds have made it this far or anything like that.
Yeah, well, we got a text in the on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067. It says, I just try to have it says, my goal or my strategy is to have my bracket be better than my son's, is what he goes for. Just tries to have more teams go further than his son's bracket. So there you go. I mean, if that's what it takes, man, if you're just trying to win the family bracket pool, by all means, do what you got to do. So, we'd love to hear people's bracket strategies this time of year. 334-784-1067. We're also going to open up the phone lines here in just a minute when we come back from our bottom of the hour break. We'd love to hear from you, your bracket reactions, your thoughts on Auburn being the number one overall seed. We got a lot more on that coming up here on the show today as well. And so, again, we're going to open up those phone lines in just a few moments, and we'll talk more about this bracket coming up on the other side of the break. Your first four, just to, again, give you an idea, right? Alabama State and St. Francis, winner of that, plays Auburn. Texas and Xavier in the 11 seed game. And then on the other side is American versus Mount St. Mary's. And then San Diego State and North Carolina, there's no drama about the Tar Heels making it to the NCAA tournament. I don't have any thoughts on them being in there or why their athletic director pulled strings to make it happen. No, sir, nothing to say.
Would that be an ain't no way?
Ain't no way. I come back and yell about the North Carolina Tar Heels. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Guess you'll have to stay tuned to find out. Phone lines are open. Give us a call, 334-321-1390.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goetz. We appreciate you being with us here on a sunny, beautiful Monday afternoon in the Auburn Opelika area. Phone lines are now open. We'd love to hear from you. We typically keep them closed a little bit to start the show, just to kind of get things rolling, and then we open them up and allow you to be a part of the show. We'd love to have you on the air if you want to call in. Give us your thoughts, 334-321-1390, and we do that now by getting to the phone lines. And Jones, you're on the line. How are you, man?
Fine, thank you, Jacob and Christian. Jacob, first of all, great job on production this weekend, allowing us to listen to Auburn baseball and such.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did a great job. And that Cade Ballou, man, that shot, we were dancing the jig in my house.
Absolutely. What a swing by that young man. What a young career he's had so far. I mean, the Auburn High kid, getting to do it locally here, and he is making himself a name very quickly wearing the orange and blue.
Well, I'm a lot older, and I can't imagine going through what he's gone through and still having the courage to get out there and play with that confidence. That says a lot about the young man's character, I'll tell you.
You better believe it.
Let's get to basketball real quick. Now, I'm an Auburn guy.
Yep.
I'm absolutely going to support him, and I'm not going to be negative. But, you know, me and tendencies, I mention them a lot. Okay, I'm looking at this. The SEC, Tennessee played a great game, and Auburn played very average, and Auburn was right there to win it. My hope is, not a concern, but a hope is that, number one, Tahad Pettifer, don't pout. You're a superstar. Don't get on the side on the bench and pout. All it takes is one shot. Secondly, I want us to make sure that we don't need to foul Jacob and Christian. We need to let the team pump fake, move around us, get under the basket and get it blocked, but don't foul.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get teams in the bonus against us, because if they hit and we don't, we could lose the game, which we shouldn't lose. Next thing I want to say is I think a lot of the funk that we're in lately has just been because – I personally believe it's because Chad Baker Mazzara kind of got it into a little bit of a funk. I don't put it all on him, but I think a lot of the team sort of had a little bit of, if you will, dissonance, dissipation, however you want to word it. And I think they're going to get it back because they're not going to be playing teams that know Auburn's tendencies. You can watch enough film on Auburn to know what I just said. They get in foul trouble. You cannot have, you know, Cardwell get himself in foul trouble when we need him to block shots toward the end of the game. It's just that simple. We can run through this thing real easily if we'll just stop a couple of fundamental goofs we're making, get our heads back in it, which I think we will, because we're not playing Florida and Tennessee and Alabama, so to speak. We're playing teams that we're a lot better than. We just got to get it together and stop the few minuscule things that are causing us to get off track. I shut up and listen, and you guys have a great show. Keep it going.
Thank you so much, Jones. We appreciate that. Very well said. 334-321-1390. Phone lines are open. Couple of things that he mentioned that we'll hit on here. Go in order, the best that I can remember. Tahad Pettifer, the first one. I think you saw him play his worst game of his freshman year, right, in the SEC tournament.
Yeah.
And I didn't see, I guess, in particular what he's talking about in terms of a emotions thing, but I think I have to commend Tahad Pettifer pretty good for what he's done as a freshman. And if that's the case, I trust him to bounce back very, very well, because he has played his best basketball in the biggest of moments this year.
Yeah, Bruce Pearl was asked about Tahad Pettifer postgame, and he said, listen, I'm going to trust Tahad Pettifer. He's given me every single reason to trust him.
Absolutely.
So why would you not? I mean, mm-hmm. You go back, and it feels like every single time in the regular season that there was a ranked opponent that Auburn was either walking into their gym or Auburn was welcoming into their gym, Tahad Pettifer had a fantastic game.
Fingerprints were all over it.
And again, by no means does this one game mean anything from the season. Obviously, you have the confidence change from going from game to game, but he's been a gamer long enough and played at really, really high levels.
Absolutely.
To where I don't think that one game is going to mean anything other than maybe, gosh, if I would have hit that one. Mm-hmm. But as soon as he steps back on the floor, he'll find the bottom of the net and keep on rolling.
Absolutely. And more breakdown on that as we go throughout the week as well. The fouling situation, he is spot on, Jones is, with Auburn getting into foul trouble. And we just got a text in the text box at 784-1067 that says, my opinion, we go as far as Chaney Johnson takes us. His lack of production lately is the biggest change. He has to give us some scoring minutes without fouling, which is why I read that, because this texter is absolutely right, and it goes with what Jones was saying as well. Auburn has to keep their guys on the floor. Dylan Cardwell, Chaney Johnson, Chad Baker Mazzara have to stay on the floor. And this is the NCAA tournament now, where we know the whistles are tighter than they've ever been. Officials are in the spotlight, and they are going to be so hardcore when it comes to calling fouls. It happens every year. NCAA tournament games take longer than any other game of the year, where they're already taking longer than the history. This season, games were longer than they've ever been in the history of college basketball. I can't wait for there to be some study on this year and see what the average game length was in Power 5 games. I'm willing to bet in real time it was 15 to 20 minutes longer on average. Yeah. And you're going to see that, if not more, in the NCAA tournament, because officials are on the biggest stage. These games mean so much, they want to get it right. And they're scared about not calling something. And so they're going to call it more times than not.
Especially if the more physical team, which Auburn will be in most cases,
SEC teams will be the aggressor. Yeah.
And yeah, SEC teams, that's something we've talked about for a while. Of there will be teams that succeed because of this whistle, and there will be teams that really tend to suffer, and it goes usually against the teams that play more physical defense.
And Auburn's going to have to adjust to that. And whether that's in the round of 64 or if they're fortunate enough to get to the round of 32, and yes, I said it that way on purpose, because you are fortunate to move on in this tournament. I don't care if you're a one seed. I don't care if you're the number one overall seed. You are fortunate to move on each and every round. You have to earn it. But it's a gift for you to do that. And so whether Auburn has to learn that on Thursday in the first round, if they get the chance to do it in the round of 32 or in the second weekend and beyond, you have to adjust to that. And you have to have that mindset of, we have to defend without fouling. Denver Jones does a good job of that. I think Jani Broome does a good job of that. Heck, even Miles Kelly normally does a pretty good job of that. But it's the names that we mentioned: Chaney Johnson, Dylan Cardwell, and Chad Baker Mazzara.
Auburn has always had, or at least over the past couple of years, have had the gift of depth with their bench and production and being able to sub out one or two guys and put two more guys on the floor, and you don't feel like, oh gosh, how is this five going to manage to do anything on the floor? As of late, that 7-8 man bench, you feel like, has become 5 or 6. You've seen guys have to play significantly more minutes, and I'm sure that Jani Broome is probably one of them. When it comes to how much Bruce Pearl wanted to play Jani Broome in the SEC tournament,
yep.
But he had to, because you can't have guys come in there and play 30 seconds of basketball and pick up two fouls and at the 17:40 mark have to sit for the remainder of the first half. Or if you play a good half, you all of a sudden come out in the second half and you play a little bit, then all of a sudden the under 8 hits and you're like, okay, he's still only at 1. Oh gosh, 20 seconds later, now he's at 3. Now you have to sit even longer. Things like that are going to make such a big difference. Auburn can be the beneficiary of the depth if they can play without fouling, but especially the ones that don't come with shot contests. Right, you can understand somebody going for a block. So you can understand somebody going for a layup and it getting fouled because you go for the ball and you hit arm on the way up, or you go on SWAT on the way down and you hit a little bit of the lower body. But it's the off ball fouls, it's the not even driving yet fouls, or that's the being out of position trying to put myself in position fouls that really, really have killed Auburn down the stretch.
Those 85 feet fouls on a rebound
where you
don't get it and Chad or somebody swats at it trying to get it on the way by.
It's the frustration foul.
They will call that in the NCAA tournament every single time.
Weaker ones.
Yes. And you have to adjust. And this gets back to that conversation about can Auburn, and I'm talking the whole team, I'm not talking one particular player, can Auburn be the mature, the more mature team? Can Auburn be the more composed team? Can you control your emotions when it doesn't go your way? Because if you do play all six games all the way through the national championship, right, that's 40 minutes a game, things are not going to go your way the entire time. That, right? That's not controversial. That's pretty common. Can you be mature? Can you be composed? And can you keep it together? Whether that is not shooting the ball well, not executing your offense, communication on defense, or officials calling the game and you disagree. Because we know that this Auburn team, they're very vocal. If they don't agree with it, they're going to let you know. But you can't do that now. You have to. And that's what is scary, the fact that it's gotten this late in the season and it still seems to be happening, right? That's a little concerning for me. I'll admit that. So Auburn's got to find a way to overcome that. But if you do, you have a chance to win a national title here. And this physicality and fouling issue that Jones brings up, and I'm glad he did, allows us to get into the bracket a little bit, because you start looking at this, and more on this as we go throughout the show today and throughout the week as well, but Auburn being the number one overall seed is a really big deal. And it was something, Christian, going into Selection Sunday, it was up in the air on whether Auburn was going to truly be the number one overall seed. Joe Lunardi's statement said they should be, but they very well could be knocked off that pedestal because of what happened down the stretch. Also known as recency bias.
Yes, and that's why you almost got a little bit frustrated. I talked about it with you, where it was almost a little bit frustrating that he was so vocal about that from the standpoint of, oh, this team could forfeit every single game after the Kentucky game and still be the number one overall seed, and everything's going to be perfectly fine. And then Auburn loses two games, and it's, okay, well, going into the SEC tournament, I've already talked about it, it doesn't matter what they do, they're the number one overall seed.
Right.
It's perfectly fine. Then all of a sudden, you're losers in three of your last four, which, if, in case you haven't heard, Auburn's lost three of their last four. You could go to any sort of site and see that crazy statistic of, no team's ever lost three of their last four and then won their next six or whatever the stats that they farm with.
Cherry-picked.
Yes, it's 100% that. But when you – oh, man. What was the thought?
You got mad. I you did. Got fired up it there fired for a second. Up. You lost your train of thought. Well, you're talking about Auburn being the number one overall seed and still earning it even though there were doubts on Selection Sunday.
Yes, but Joe Lunardi's – topics of conversation.
Yes.
Of how it was, up in the air because they lost three of their last four. You wouldn't have thought it with the selection show. It was, all right, let's get into it, Auburn. You're the number one overall seed. The
all
number
right,
two
on.
Seed
yeah.
is,
yeah.
like, it made it seem like it was 100% without a doubt confirmed. That being said, yes, it's something that we've talked about. It's something that you know the team has talked about just because you know the results, you know that you're staying closer to home in the round of 64 and 32, and then you know where the big spotlight is if you're able to advance to the weekend after that.
Mm-hmm. And it, I mean, we have to sit and just appreciate what happened here. And it's no secret that I have been very vocal about the idea of moving on from the purist mindset of just thankful that Auburn basketball is where it is and how bad it used to be. These types of moments, I think you have to sit and appreciate it for a second. Let's realize what just happened here. Auburn is not just a one seed. Auburn's the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. Do you know how many schools can say that? Not many.
Do you know how many Auburn schools prior to this one could say it? Zero. This is the very first number one overall seed for Auburn University in men's basketball history.
It doesn't happen very often, man. I mean, this is blue blood status type of stuff. This is new blood status type of stuff where you are named in the same conversation as Duke, who has won handfuls of national titles. You're talking about Florida, who has won national titles in the last 10, 15 years. It was, what, 07, 08 when they went back-to-back, or 06, 07, can't remember. I think it was 07, 08. And then Houston, a team that historically has been good and has really come on as of late. I mean, you're talking about some of the biggest brands in the sport that are one seeds and the ones that have been number one overall seeds. And I think that's something that needs to be appreciated and pointed out. Whether you was expecting it or not, or you thought it should be, doesn't matter. This is a really big deal for Bruce Pearl and Auburn, and it's really cool that we get to sit here and talk about it. And when we come back, we are going to start talking about some of these matchups. It'll carry into hour two, starting to look at this bracket a little bit. And as we get into hour two, start looking at Auburn's run. Where do they have to go, or who do they have to play to try and make a run at the Final Four, plus some of these interesting matchups across round one? We'll talk about that as we wrap up hour number one after this.
War Eagle, this is Coach Bruce Pearl, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Got a few more minutes before we get to our top of the hour break, and we'll, of course, carry this into the second hour, talking Auburn basketball, the NCAA tournament, as the bracket is officially here, and we got a couple of minutes, Christian. So any matchups that stand out to you in terms of teams that got in or didn't get in, more on that probably in the second hour, but just matchups right now that stand out to you. We'll start in Auburn's portion of the bracket if you want, or you can go wherever. It doesn't matter, I guess. Just matchups that stand out to you in the first round of the tournament.
Yeah, I think that the two most popular upsets, in my opinion, will be UC San Diego and Michigan, and then possibly, I think some people will pick Yale over Texas A&M. I think the 5-12, that Michigan team, especially before their two wins this past weekend with the two big-time wins and winning the Big Ten Tournament Championship, I think you're sitting there going, this could be one of the most popular 12-5 upsets ever, at least from a pick standpoint.
Really? Okay.
But I think now with Michigan playing a little bit better ball after those two wins, I think that it tones that down just enough. I think another really, really interesting matchup, I think Georgia-Gonzaga is going to be a really, really good game that
better than
not
people
a lot of people
are
talking
for.
About.
Yep.
It is Bulldogs versus Bulldogs. I think McNeese and Clemson is going to be a very good game. Purdue and High Point, those are in the exact same little pod. You could easily say the winner of Clemson, McNeese State, Purdue, and High Point, regardless of which four team it is, goes to the Sweet 16.
You know, in the Gonzaga-Georgia game, I mean, I'll probably pick the Bulldogs to win, but I'm not sure yet. I'll have to come back to you on that one.
With Georgia-Gonzaga?
It was a joke, yeah. Never mind. Hear them right over your head. Did you get what I was saying in the Georgia-Gonzaga game? I said I'll probably pick the Bulldogs, but I'll have to come back. There it is. There it is. Matchups that I like, I think the Oregon Liberty game, you mentioned that one a little bit earlier.
You printed off this paper and the words are so small, I'm having to try and concentrate.
If I can read it, you should be able to read it.
Oh, I can. It's just it's hard trying to figure out which matchup, and so sorry that you're bulldogging.
Okay, sorry that I just won't print you another one then. So I thought I was doing you a good thing and printing you off a bracket, but no, you pull it up on your laptop then where you can zoom in by 158% and zoom in on the PDF. That's fine. That's okay. I mentioned Oregon Liberty. I like the Yale A&M game just because Yale's a physical team, right? They were saying last night one of the more physical teams in the country, and we know that Texas A&M plays that way. I don't know if that Memphis and Colorado State game, I want to say it's going to be good because I think Colorado State could do a little something down there. I've got to dive into that one a little bit.
A lot depends on if P.J. Haggerty
plays.
Then I think Memphis can run away with it.
I think one of my big upset picks is Drake and Missouri. I think that Drake team with Ben McCollum, even though he is floating around for some big job openings right now, I think that Drake team is legit.
I want Omaha to beat St. John's just so I can watch Omaha destroy another trash can. Have you seen that? That's their celebration in the locker room.
Oh my gosh, no.
Have you seen, like, some teams do, like, the tile and break it?
They have
a trash can that they put, like, the other team on, and they all just destroy the trash can.
I mean,
no purpose whatsoever, but it's awesome to watch.
There's some weird stuff going on in Omaha. I also think that Arkansas is going to give Kansas everything they want. If Arkansas can find a way to just limit Hunter Dickinson, Kansas has one other player. They have a guard, and that's it.
Yeah,
and
Zeke Mayo, right?
Yeah, Zeke Mayo. And Arkansas is getting people back for this tournament. We know how high scoring they can be. But how about the coaching matchup right there? Bill Self and John Calipari in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Two Hall of Famers going at it between Kansas and Arkansas.
And I don't know, this might not be the official prediction yet, but it wouldn't be too hot of one, and I might roll with it. The winner of both play-in 11 seed games make the Sweet 16.
The Sweet 16. Wow. Texas or Xavier to beat Illinois and to beat Kentucky or Troy? Wow. Okay, and then the other one, San Diego State or North Carolina to beat Ole Miss and then beat
Possibly Iowa State?
Wow.
At least the round of 32 will be one of them. I could see both of them.
I would think Texas and Xavier before San Diego State and North Carolina because
North Carolina's good, though.
Oh, God. North Carolina's bad. They're so bad, it's not even funny. And we'll talk more about that, plus more bracket breakdown and talking Auburn. All that coming up in hour number two. Stick around. Don't you dare turn that radio dial.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go and catch it with the podcast. You'll find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com. You can also listen to the show live there each and every day. And so, again, you can check that out and catch up with what we talked about in hour number one. Kind of some reactions to Auburn losing in the SEC tournament to Tennessee on Saturday in the semifinals, but still earning the number one overall seed. We had some fan engagement, started talking about the bracket a little bit, and we'll do some more of that here in hour number two. And so you can find that, again, wherever you get your podcast or on our station website at ESPNAU.com. You can also find at ESPNAU.com. Since the bracket has been released, it's time for you to fill yours out, right? You can check it out in our Basketball Mayhem Contest at ESPNAU.com. Go there right now, and you can make your picks for the Basketball Mayhem Contest, sponsored by the Orthopedic Clinic, University Ace Hardware, Sensa Green Heating, Cooling, and Insulation, and Turner Auto Group. The bracket's closed when the first game begins on Thursday. So get your picks in for a chance to win incredible prizes from our amazing sponsors, including a Yeti cooler, custom WeatherTech car mats, gift cards, and much more. Visit ESPNAU.com to enter your bracket today in our Basketball Mayhem Contest. So be sure you check that out on our station website. We are going to be doing that live on the show this Wednesday, okay? We're clearing the schedule, moving some guests around, and we are going to be filling out our brackets live on the show with our Basketball Mayhem Contest. So if you want to go ahead and get yours in now, you can. If you want to fill yours out with us as we go through on Wednesday, you can do that as well. We're going to have a special guest in the studio on Wednesday. You definitely don't want to miss him making a return, we'll say. He'll be back with us on Wednesday to fill out our brackets. And so we'll be doing that with our Basketball Mayhem Contest, again, sponsored by the Orthopedic Clinic, University Ace Hardware, Sensa Green Heating, Cooling, and Insulation, and Turner Auto Group. So excited to be doing that on Wednesday before the first games begin on Thursday. Before we get into content, want to remind you that the second hour of our show each and every day is brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. And you can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. Christian, let's keep breaking down the bracket a little bit, and we'll start in the top left with Auburn, of course, as the number one overall seed. They're facing off against a 16 seed, either St. Francis or Alabama State. That game is going to be played tomorrow in the first four, and some would say it's cool that Auburn could match up with an in-state foe. Others would say, I don't know if I want to do that. Maybe don't need the extra juice in a 1 versus 16 type of matchup.
No, I mean, when you're looking at the true talent level, I mean, of these teams, it is the 67th and 68th ranked team talent-wise on the field of 68 on this bracket, again, with the two play-in games. But, yeah, it feels like it's one of those – it's like those midweek baseball games that we talk about, or those December 11 a.m. tips in Neville Arena, where the smaller team comes to town, and all of a sudden you're halfway through the first half going, oh, gosh, this team's giving you everything that you could ask for. It's funny that you have to go and travel. How far is Lexington from here?
I think it's like 6 hours.
To go play a team that you live 45 minutes from?
It may be a little bit more. I think it's about 6 hours, give or take.
We joked about it. We talked about it. And we said Auburn can talk to Alabama State. Alabama State can pick three players for Auburn to start the game with one foul if we can just play it here at Auburn.
I'm saying, hey, come to Neville Arena. We'll give you a 15-0 head start, and we'll just play the first-round game here. I mean, let's save each other a bunch of gas, bunch of trips, right? We'll make it easy. That's fine. We'll just play it here in Neville. Hey, if we need to go down to Alabama State, that's fine. We can play in the Acadome. That's fine. Come on. Let's go play in Montgomery. We can make that happen. They just got to win their first-round game after traveling to Dayton, which I'm sure they left first thing this morning, if I had to guess, at Alabama State traveled to Dayton. They'll play their first round game, and then they'll head back down to Lexington if they do win that. And so, yeah, so Auburn will get the winner of Alabama State and St. Francis. That game is played tomorrow. Of course, Louisville and Creighton, the 8 and the 9 seed. And we've been talking before we got on the air today. There's a lot of teams that could complain about some things, and we'll get to that kind of as we go, like I said, throughout the show and throughout the week before the tournament begins. Louisville's one of those teams that should absolutely be complaining. They should be pitching a fit, because in the final AP poll, I think one came out today, which is so pointless, but Louisville was the 13th ranked team in the country.
Today, they were the 10th.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Yep.
The 10th ranked team in the country, according to the AP poll.
And they didn't get the 8th overall seed.
They're the 8th
seed. They are a number 8 seed in the tournament.
And their reward for making a run in the ACC, being a pretty much season-long top 25 team, was a second-round matchup versus the best team in college basketball. That's criminal to me. They should not be anywhere near an 8 seed if you're looking at this logically. They have to play Creighton as the 9, who I think is a really good squad, and your reward, like I said, is the best team in the country in Auburn. Louisville should be pitching a fit today, and I'm sure they are. And I'm sure they have things to say. Now, there are the conversations about the location of these games, playing in Lexington, which is an hour and 15 minutes away from Louisville, in your home state. Very understandable. Maybe that was the quote reward that they gave them. You have to play Auburn, but at least you can play it in your home state.
It was like they forgot about Louisville and all of a sudden said, okay, we're at our 7s, we have our 8s, who are the teams that are oh shoot, we haven't picked the Cardinals yet. Okay, we're gonna give them this, but we'll give them a little pat on the back and say, but at least you don't have to go very far. I mean, it's absolutely absurd. Duke in the ACC obviously getting the 1 seed. Clemson got the 5 seed, which is crazy enough to think about that there's such a jump. But when you look at the overall record, Clemson finished 27-6. Louisville finished 27-7. Both were 18-2 in conference play. And Louisville beat Clemson both times in the regular season.
But yet there's a 3 seed difference between Clemson and Louisville.
Once in the regular season, once to get to the ACC championship.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. And look, from an Auburn perspective, I'm not worried about Louisville at all. I've watched them plenty of times this season. I'm not overly scared about this Louisville Cardinals team. I'm just saying from their perspective, they should be very upset today, or I'm sure they were last night, the fact that they're having to play Creighton, who, again, I think is a really good team and I think poses some serious threats to Auburn in the round of 32, but Louisville has to play them, and then they have to play Auburn. Other teams in Auburn's bracket, the 5 seed is Michigan, who just went and won their conference tournament. This bracket for Auburn is just filled with storylines. I mean, just storylines galore. Louisville playing an hour and 15 minutes from home. Michigan as the 5 seed. Oh, who's their point guard? Oh, yeah, that's right. Trey Donaldson, who transferred from Auburn, is now a conference champion with the Michigan Wolverines.
Who hit two game winners in the Final Four and the championship game.
Who is playing such good basketball, and I'm so happy for him. But if he beats Auburn in the Sweet 16, I might cry actual tears, okay? They're playing UC San Diego, a team you've talked about as possibly being an upset for the Michigan Wolverines. The 4 seed Texas A&M taking on 13 seeded Yale. An SEC team again in Ole Miss as the 6 seed. They play either San Diego State or North Carolina in the 11 seed play-in game. And what a perfect time for us to go into this conversation for just a minute, because North Carolina, as a possible 11 seed, playing San Diego State in the first four in Dayton, Ohio, as the final team into the tournament, Christian Griffin. They were the last team in the first two out were West Virginia and Indiana. The Mountaineers and the Hoosiers are out, but somehow, crazy enough, maybe a miracle some would call it, North Carolina's in the NCAA tournament. How about that? A team that had one quad one win all season long, who did absolutely nothing in the ACC schedule, who did nothing in the ACC tournament, whose apparent non-conference schedule was just the hardest thing we've ever seen, according to the committee. They just magically find themselves in. It has nothing to do with their athletic director being the chairman of the NCAA tournament committee.
Not just being on it.
Not just on it. He's it. He's the chairman. He is the one that speaks for them.
No, Jacob. He walked out the door when they were talking about North Carolina.
You're right.
That was what he said, that he was not in the room. So he walked up and said, "All right, Jacob, you know my team, Auburn, right? You know that's my team. And you know they shouldn't be in anything. But I'm going to walk out this door. And just remember who's above you, but do what you feel like you need to do. But, you know, just remember what we talked about earlier."
I mean, can we just address the Tar Heel in the room for a second? Literally, it's the fact that he's had weeks to butter these people up. He's had weeks to influence them directly or indirectly. And then all of a sudden, when it comes to voting time Saturday night, yeah, he's going to step outside the door with his ear pressed up against it. And as soon as they're done voting, he goes, "Can I come back in, please? Well, how'd the vote turn out? What happened?" Can we understand how idiotic this is?
Don't tell me who you voted for, but will I be happy?
Yeah. It's like, do we understand how insane this is for half a second? And I'm sorry, you can't convince me that that's how that went down and that this was a clean process. I refuse to believe it. And I have no dog in the fight here. But the fact of the matter is, you have a North Carolina team who has one quad one win, who played in the worst Power 5 conference in college basketball and has nothing to show for it, who got in over a West Virginia team with 6 quad 1 wins, an Indiana team with 4 quad 1 wins, who beat Michigan State and East Lansing and Purdue in the last 3 weeks of the season, and a Boise State squad that's got a pretty good resume themselves. All three of those teams are now sitting at home and watching because North Carolina's athletic director pulled some strings and made some calls and made sure that corruption took place and his team got into the NCAA tournament. You cannot convince me otherwise.
And West Virginia has clearly made it known that they are not happy going to bracket matrix, which is something that a bunch of teams look at where almost every single scenario is plugged into a computer and it spits out where it thinks everybody should be. It makes usually 100 or so brackets. There were 111 that came out this year of the possibilities. That's how you get the Arkansas is in the tournament 74.2% of the time. It's because of those types of numbers. West Virginia was in all 111 brackets. And they were not only in the tournament as like a play-in game, they were a 10 seed in, I think, 109 of the 111. And the other ones, they were the play-in games with the 11. And they were left out of the big dance. And it's the first time that Bracket Matrix has had a team that said they were solidly in 100% and them not get voted in. And West Virginia's governor is taking legal action
as well. He's already had the presser today, I think.
He's had the presser, and he's taken legal action over the selection committee, and he called them the National Corrupt Athletic Association.
I love that. I'm totally stealing that. I don't know if he's got that trademarked or not.
Get
he
that
very
on a
well could. It's the governor and the attorney general from the state of West Virginia who came out today and said they're taking legal action for corruption inside the NCAA tournament committee. Do I think that's a little extreme? Maybe. Are you telling me there's nothing else going on in the state of West Virginia? You don't have any other things to focus on there, governor? I don't know.
Maybe, I mean,
we're in sports. Maybe it's West Virginia, man. Maybe they're so happy and life is so great up there in the Mountaineer State that this is their biggest problem. Good for them if that's the case. We're in sports talk radio. We're allowed to overreact. We're allowed to have emotions. We're allowed to talk about these things. And while I do think North Carolina is the main culprit here, Joe Lunardi wrote an article about it this morning. It was so bad. It was so bad for somebody that's been doing this for decades. He said this was the worst blunder they've ever had.
And not even with this team, just this year's selection of 68 teams and where they go. Because, again, it goes back to where Louisville was ranked. It goes
and that's
to
the thing. It's almost more about
brackets.
Where they are. That's a big part of this, is where certain teams are. And I do think there's one thing that should be pointed out, is the fact that 14 of the 31 one seeds in conference tournaments this year. So of the one seeds in conference tournaments over the last 2 weeks, 14 of them lost in their tournaments. So that means there were 14 teams that won their conference tournament that were quote-unquote not supposed to, which means they stole bids. That throws a little wrench into some things. Sure. I totally understand that. But somebody like North Carolina is just unacceptable to me. And I've changed my stance on a team that I said going into last week should be in, especially with some of the wins they picked up in Nashville. But now that I compare some things and see teams that got left out compared to them, I've changed my stance. Texas should not be in.
With a losing quad two record.
Texas should not be in the NCAA tournament. 3-5 in quad two games. I'm sorry. I personally overlooked that. I did. I overlooked that number. That is unacceptable, because for a team like them, who 7-10 in quad one games is solid for them. I'll give them that.
But if you have a losing record in quad one, you're 2-3-4.
Perfect.
Need to almost be spotless.
They need to be perfect. There's no doubt about it. You know who was? Indiana. They were perfect in quad 2-3-4. And any bubble team should have a perfect record in there. If you want to make an argument, that should be your argument. Instead, they were not. And guess what? Not only was North Carolina 1-12 in quad one games, they have a quad three loss. They lost a quad three game this year, did the Tar Heels. And they still got to the NCAA tournament. So my problem with this, as we wrap up and move on and talk about more of the bracket, is you have now, if you're the NCAA, the National Corruption Athletic Association, which is so incredible, you've set a standard and a narrative that crappy teams can get in, that undeserving teams have a shot. And we want to expand it? We want to make the field bigger? Give me a break. Give me a break. And we are actively watching open corruption. And guess what? There's nothing you can do about it.
The good thing about it, I know we're heading to break here in just a second, but the good thing about all of this is the fact that there's not like a model or anything that could be followed that like other sports use to make things really simple. It's going to be, we're going to have active athletic directors that are actual humans that sit there and vote without any sort of emotion or anything, because if it was like a computer model and it was very easily set in stone what needed to happen, like that would be really, really bad for the sport.
I mean, why not put, I don't know, these people called, what are their titles? Bracketologists? They are scientists of brackets. That's what they do. They literally are paid to put brackets together based off of this wacky idea called stats and numbers and wins and losses. There are dozens of them. Bring all these crazy dudes together, because they are. They're wacko. They're geniuses. But they're weird, because all they do is watch college basketball 24/7, however many days a year college basketball is played, from November to March. That's all they do. But they're geniuses. And they know how this thing works. The Joe Lenardis, the Jerry Palms, the John Rothsteins of the world. Put them in a room and let them decide the NCAA tournament, because they know ball. They know what they're talking about.
The ones that can have a legitimate conversation with the one seed to the 68th team in the seed or in the field.
Yes.
Instead of the, yeah, but my team is right there.
Do we really think the North Carolina athletic director has any idea who High Point is? Do we really believe that? No.
Talk to me about what you've seen from UNC Wilmington this year.
Guess how much I can tell you about that? None. I'll research it through this week. I can't tell you anything about UNC Wilmington, which is why I don't belong on the tournament committee. And neither do most of the members that sit in that room, who have no repercussions.
You might be qualified.
At this point, probably. Yeah. Put me on. Put me in the committee. I could probably do a better job than they could. Unbelievable, man. So, there we go. We've made it through, half of Auburn's portion of the bracket. We got a long way to go. We'll talk more about this. Don't forget, Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joins us coming up at 3:30. Quick segment when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
All right, we got a few more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line. We quick segment before our bottom of the hour break, and then Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network will join us. We'll talk to him about Auburn basketball, their short run in the SEC tournament, plus them being the number one overall seed. His thoughts on their draw in the tournament bracket, plus recaps from Auburn baseball. Big weekend for Butch Thompson and the boys as they get SEC playoff to the right start, and SEC softball is underway for Auburn as well. So all of that coming up with Jacob Hillman in just a few moments. But do want to, before we get to break and look at the rest of Auburn's draw in the bracket, we've been telling you we got some news, and we're going to be plugging this hard, because coming up this Thursday, as the NCAA tournament tips off once again, if you were with us last year, if you were listening last year, you know where I'm going with this. This Thursday, you can join ESPN 106.7 live on location this Thursday, March 20th, as we tip off the tourney with SensaGreen Heating, Cooling, and Insulation. On the Line and the Drive will be on location at Plaza Bar and Lounge in Midtown from 2 to 6 p.m., breaking down all of the biggest games from day one of the NCAA basketball tournament, including the Auburn Tigers in round one. There will be tons of prizes and giveaways from SensaGreen, and you must be present to win. So come out, join us, and watch some great basketball, eat some wonderful food, have some cold snacks if you want to, and watch some great games for the NCAA tournament. And we, Christian and I, will be on the air as Auburn is playing. So we're going to be breaking it down and literally reacting live as the game is taking place for Auburn. And so, again, that's this Thursday. Tip off the tourney with us at Plaza Bar and Lounge. That's in there in Midtown, right? Those white buildings across from Niffers and things like that on Opelika Road. Come join us. It's brought to you by SensaGreen Heating, Cooling, and Insulation this Thursday to tip off the tourney with us on ESPN 106.7. And again, if you were with us last year, we had so much fun. We encourage everybody to come on out. Knock off the work that day. I know a lot of you are going to do it anyway, so you may as well come and hang out with us at Plaza Bar, man. We're going to have a lot of fun on Thursday.
Yeah, really, really excited. Basically doing everything but play-by-play. I mean, live reactions to the game before it. We'll be able to talk about the Louisville-Creighton game because that's the game right before. So we'll be able to have at least some sort of knowledge, granted that Auburn can take care of St. Francis or Alabama State, of who the opponent would be in the round of 32. So really, really excited to be able to head out and be able to talk about all of it.
Yep, so that'll be this Thursday again at Plaza Bar, brought to you by Sensegreen Heating, Cooling, and Insulation. So come and join us. Prizes, giveaways, all sorts of stuff. Going to be a lot of fun this Thursday. Other teams in Auburn's bracket here really quick before we take a break and get to Jacob Hillman. I mentioned that Ole Miss plays that 11-game winner, San Diego State or North Carolina. Iowa State is in Auburn's bracket. Another storyline, a team that Auburn beat very early this season. They play Lipscomb, and some people may pick that 14 seed to upset the Cyclones, who have been okay, I guess, in the last couple of weeks of the season. Marquette is in there as a 7 seed, taking on New Mexico. Hey-o, we've seen that team before. Michigan State is the 2 seed for Auburn, taking on 15-seeded Bryant. So, along with Auburn, you've got Louisville, Creighton, Michigan, Texas A&M, Yale, yikes, Ole Miss, North Carolina or San Diego State, Iowa State, Marquette, New Mexico, and Michigan State. First glance, Christian, in the last however long it's been, 12, 17 hours, whatever it's been, which team in that bracket scares you the most to upset Auburn somewhere? Because it would be an upset, Auburn being the number one overall seed. Which team poses the biggest threat to Auburn to not make the Final Four?
Michigan. And it's the most realistic, too, because it could be in the Sweet 16. Yeah. Michigan runs their offense not only with Trey Donaldson, but two of the best big men in the country, and Danny Wolf and Golden. Danny Wolf played for the Yale Bulldogs last year, and so he knows a little bit about upsetting Auburn in the NCAA tournament. Auburn's not the best rebounding team, which we've seen. Michigan is a fantastic rebounding team and doesn't really turn the ball over. It's a scary group as the 5 seed right there.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Michigan is scary. Texas A&M is scary because of the woes against them with Bruce Pearl and Buzz Williams. I'm scared of Creighton, man. Creighton's a matchup nightmare for the bigs down low with Kalkbrenner going up against Dillon or Janai. And then Michigan State, you're talking about another Hall of Fame coach over there at Tom Izzo. All he does is win in March. So Auburn's got a tough path, but so do other teams. We'll talk to Jacob Hillman about just that and everything going on around Auburn Athletics from the Auburn Sports Network. He joins us next.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Across from me, Christian Griffin. And we get to the phone lines, as we do every Monday at 3:30. You can hear this guy on the Auburn Sports Network and a part of their fantastic coverage of football, men and women's basketball, baseball, and softball. And you're going to hear him this Thursday, a part of the crew in Lexington as they head up to cover Auburn in the NCAA tournament. Jacob Hillman joins us from the Auburn Sports Network. My man, hope you're doing good on this Monday afternoon, and what a gorgeous day we've got here in Auburn.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Looking forward to the journey ahead as Auburn starts the NCAA tournament in Lexington this weekend, and excited to be a part of it as well.
Well, we were talking earlier in the show. We're going to cover Auburn as the number one overall seed and their draw in the bracket and their run that they're going to have to go through and things like that. I definitely want to hit baseball and softball on the way out. But the question we were talking about to open up the show on this Monday was, should Auburn fans be disappointed with how the SEC tournament played out, right? You squeak out a win over Ole Miss, felt like that was one Auburn had to have, just from a confidence perspective, and then you go up against Tennessee, didn't play your best, but still had chances to win. You just come up a little bit short. So should Auburn fans be disappointed or worried with how the SEC tournament played out heading into the NCAA tournament?
I don't think so at all. I think that what you got was a typical 1-6 matchup in the SEC tournament against Ole Miss, and then you got a Final Four game against Tennessee, and in which case you come out on top in one of them and you fall in the other. And like you mentioned, two of these games were games that Auburn had its struggles, but also had its successes. And I think against both of them, Janai Broome had great games and proved more so that he is the player of the year in the country in the SEC, but I do think it's also not necessarily the again, I think with these conference tournaments, you're looking at the fact that they aren't the end-all be-all for these major conferences. If you're in the Big Ten or the SEC or the I was going to say ACC, but many of those teams needed to win that tournament to have a chance at the NCAA tournament or the Big 12, then you're trying to vie for some momentum and maybe some different adjustments and whatnot. And I know that Auburn obviously has lost three of its last four games. Not like anyone hasn't said that in the last few days.
You're right about that.
I just think that Auburn did a decent job against two high caliber opponents, two teams that are going to play in the NCAA tournament as top six seeds and have a chance to go deep in that tournament. And that's what's important is that Auburn is still putting up a fight. I mean, and I look at that 10-0 run against Tennessee in the second half when Volunteers looked like they were on a mission and Auburn decided they were going to punch back. And that was very important, I think, for this team to see that and to show that to the fan base as well as themselves. So I don't think there's any concern from the SEC tournament performance because those were two typical NCAA tournament March games.
And about 28, 29 hours later, Auburn is the very first team announced in the NCAA March Madness tournament. Talk about it from your perspective, right? Jacob and I did a little bit earlier and how you don't want to set too many highlights or set any sort of expectations, but every once in a while you do have to stop and smell the roses, right? I mean, what an accomplishment the first time ever for Auburn men's basketball. What an accomplishment to be the number one overall seed in this year's tournament.
Yeah, and I think it's just so cool with what this team has accomplished this year. Obviously, the SEC champions of the regular season and now the number one overall seed for the first time ever in program history. That means something. It's something that Coach Pearl has preached since he got to campus was about making history. And that's the mantra is that these guys want to continue to do that and have done that over these last 2 years. Every championship is a historic one. And, you know, these guys will return in 5, 10, 15, 20 years for reunions and to be honored at Neville Arena. And like you said, it's just earning that number one overall seed and being in the South region, going to Rupp Arena, where you just won for the first time in nearly 40 years to start the journey in the NCAA tournament. And then hopefully you're able to advance to the Sweet 16 Elite Eight, where you'll play a pseudo home game in Atlanta at State Farm Arena. And that's just so special. And that's something that this team has earned because of how great it played this season. I mean, it was 27-2 coming into the month of March. Obviously, the last four games have been a little bit of a struggle, and that's what many are going to point to. But you can't forget what happened November through February and how great they were at that point in the season.
And again, Auburn was the very first name called, not few moments later, but Alabama State, St. Francis, the next names named right after. That will be Auburn's round of 64 game. And then a bunch of other teams that were named that's gotten the fan base a little bit with some mixed reactions. Teams like Louisville, Creighton would be the round of 32. Teams like Michigan, Texas A&M, Yale, Ole Miss, Iowa State. I mean, the storylines in this South region you feel like are never ending. Jacob, what were your initial thoughts when the rest of that bracket was released?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think there are plenty of storylines in this bracket, and especially as it relates to Auburn, whether it's rematches with Texas A&M or Ole Miss or Iowa State, potentially North Carolina or even Yale from last year's tournament, or you could see some old friends in Michigan with Trey Donaldson and then Louisville playing the home game if it were to beat Creighton and play against Auburn on Saturday at Rupp Arena. So I don't think that this is any more of a gauntlet than any of the other regions of the bracket are. It's going to be difficult no matter what. And you've got to play the best to be the best, and you've got to beat the best as well. So, you know, I'll also look at it this way. Auburn has pretty much known that it was going to be in Lexington for the first and second round since it beat Kentucky in Rupp Arena a few weeks ago. And maybe even prior to that, it was expected that Auburn would be the number one overall seed and go to Lexington and potentially be in the South region. So I don't think there's going to be a lack of Auburn fans. I don't think that crowd on Saturday, if it is to be Louisville, is going to be much going to be too much in favor of the Cardinals. I mean, Louisville was probably underseeded by two seeds. I would say Louisville, they were ranked number 10 in the AP poll today. The final AP poll before the tournament started, they're ranked number 10. That's shocking that Louisville became an 8 seed. Probably should have been a 6 seed and headed elsewhere, but that doesn't matter when it comes to these games. You've got one game at a time, and you've got to start with St. Francis or Alabama State. You'll find that out tomorrow night when that first four game in Dayton is concluded. And from there, you'll know whether it's Louisville or Creighton on Saturday.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us on ESPN 106.7. The Southeastern Conference, Hillman, very well represented, a record 14 teams into the NCAA tournament, thanks to Texas squeaking in at the very end as a first four team. They'll play Xavier as the 11 play-in game. Are you betting on the SEC or kind of cautious about the SEC and the NCAA tournament? I mean, there's 14 teams. You got pretty good odds right for somebody to make a run. But, I mean, with Auburn and Florida as one seeds, of course, Alabama, Tennessee as two seeds, are you betting on the SEC to make some noise or maybe a little concerned with the style of play they have?
I have to expect that the top half of the SEC, you know, your Auburns, your Floridas, your Alabamas, your Tennessees, maybe even Kentucky, can go on some runs and do that. I am interested to see how some of the lower seeds perform. Now, with that being said, you know, Florida's might play Oklahoma in the second round, and that's if Oklahoma can get past the back-to-back defending national champions in UConn. Georgia, for example, would play Houston in the second round, the one seed Houston, but it's got to beat an 8 seed Gonzaga that's top 10 analytically across the board. So I do think it's matchup dependent. I think that the top part of the SEC, the few teams that I just mentioned, are going to do what is expected and make its way into the second weekend, and we'll see if they can make it to San Antonio. But it is definitely interesting to look at some of these matchups, and like I said, some of them are going to be SEC versus SEC because of how many teams are in the field. I mean, I can't imagine what the selection committee had to go through to try and avoid as many rematches as possible, which just wasn't really possible because, I mean, now, it wouldn't be until the Elite Eight, but Auburn could theoretically face Ole Miss for a fourth time this season, and that goes for other teams as well. You could face Alabama or Tennessee for a third time as well. Those wouldn't take place until the Final Four or the national championship, but that's just part of it, and I think the SEC is going to prove that it was the strongest conference in college basketball this year, and regardless of how, you know, this one team fares or whatnot. So it was a gauntlet this year in the SEC, and it's going to be no different here in March.
Auburn baseball was able to open up SEC play this weekend. Had some things move around because of the weather that moved through, but did not impact the final result for this Auburn team as they get the opening night win on Friday 6-2. Drop a tough one Saturday 8-6, and then Sunday's game was just magical. 7-6 there at Plainsman Park. Summarize what this series win means for Auburn to take down the 13th ranked team in the country in Vanderbilt. The Tigers move up to number 20. In the latest AP poll, and Auburn starts SEC play with a series win.
It is absolutely massive, and I think that's been something that Auburn struggled with in the past few years, is getting off to the right start in SEC play. Last year, obviously, at Vanderbilt, that was the tough one where it's cold and you're facing a tough environment, a top-ranked team. This year, obviously, you face the same team, but you're doing it at home, and I don't think Vanderbilt might not be what it was last year, but it's still a top 15 team in the SEC. That's facing every single week. You're facing the best teams in the country. But to go out on Friday night, set the tone, and then Saturday, obviously you fall, but you didn't get blown out or anything like that. And then Sunday, I just look at the fact that, you know, Cable was down to his last strike, and Vanderbilt brought in a guy that had thrown 30-some-odd pitches the day before, and Vanderbilt was switching pitchers quite a bit in that inning, and really wanted the matchups, but it didn't matter. He held one breaking ball, and Kay Ballou attacked and took advantage of it. And like you said, it was a magical moment at Plainsman Park for that to happen. The hometown kid, his sophomore year, and to give Auburn that series win. And then obviously Ryan Hetzler comes in the top half of the ninth inning, just strikes out the side with, like, no big deal. That's what was so impressive to me, was riding on that high and really capitalizing on it, because it very easily could have turned into a big jam, and Vanderbilt could have come on and who knows, you might not have thrown strikes, and then it turns into a scary situation at the top of the night. But there was none of that. It was Hetzler and as well as Andreas Alvarez, who's a freshman that won freshman of the week. And I just think that this pitching staff is coming along and really making its name felt. Samuel Dutton had a huge game on Friday night, going 7 innings, and then Carson Myers came in to shut the door. So just, again, I think all around this team is really figuring out. And guess what? They did it without Ike Iris this weekend. So that's even better news, is that he's going to return at some point, and Auburn's going to improve with him back in the lineup.
Auburn gets the series win over the 13th-ranked Vanderbilt Commodores. And again, that game on Sunday where you feel like you end up stealing one can do so much for momentum. Hillman, what would you like to see from this team as they continue to work their way through SEC play? They have Alabama State in the midweek. And then, hey, if Auburn fans are going to watch Auburn basketball, yeah, they can get a 2-for-1 or a 3-for-1 or even a 4-for-1 as the Tigers head to Lexington, Kentucky to play the Wildcats on the field this weekend.
It's important to continue this momentum on tomorrow night. You're facing Alabama State. You know, you might face them in basketball on Thursday as well, but you've got to capitalize and make sure that momentum continues to ride into the SEC weekend series, and you can't let Sunday get the best of you. So I think tomorrow is a critical game for the pitching staff to come out and really do its thing, like it has in the last few midweeks. Last week, Alex Petrovic was absolutely stellar. We'll see if he gets the start tomorrow, and if he does, then I want to see him continue to do what he did. He had a perfect game going into the sixth inning against UT Martin before he gave up a hit and a walk, but I just think that that's the key right there, is the pitching staff to continue to do what it has done in the midweek, and that's going to carry over into the weekend. And it's going to be cold up in Lexington, and I think that it's going to be a great opportunity for Auburn fans as well as Auburn baseball to really show out at that baseball series as well as the NCAA tournament.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, he's with us every single Monday at 3:30, joins us on the phone lines. Always appreciate him and his time. Tell us what's going on around Auburn Athletics. Other than that, I know softball has been on a tough stretch lately for the Malvos, trying to get back on track on Wednesday as they take on South Alabama, plus all the broadcast information that we know as of right now for you guys at the Auburn Sports Network.
Yeah, today we released a Talking Tigers podcast Andy Burson did with Miles Kelly, Dylan Cardwell, and Bruce Pearl, talking about the upcoming first-round matchup in the NCAA tournament and just what that means for this program and to those guys specifically as well. So follow at AU Sports Network for that conversation, as well as plenty of other coaches' press conferences or conversations with Andy and all the broadcast details coming up. But, yeah, it gets started tomorrow on Tuesday against Alabama State, with Auburn baseball against Alabama State. Auburn softball will be back in action on Wednesday against South Alabama before making its way to Texas this weekend. Obviously, like you mentioned, it's a big series for the Tigers, trying to bounce back and get off the losing streak that it's on. And then it'll be a different Tiger Talk Wednesday because of the game on Thursday. We will move Tiger Talk up to Wednesday. You can listen to that on Wings 94.3 FM, same time, 6 o'clock Central Time. We'll have more details on who will join us on Tiger Talk coming up tomorrow. So, again, follow at AU Sports Network for those details, as well as at Auburn Tigers. And then Thursday, the NCAA tournament, where number one overall seed Auburn will face either Alabama State or St. Francis. Tip-off is approximately 1:50 Central. I don't anticipate that being the proper tip time. I think that Louisville-Creighton game will probably take a little bit longer than 2 hours, but we'll be on the air at 1:30 Central regardless on Wings 94.3 FM. Reminder that there is no streaming or anything for the NCAA tournament for our broadcast. You must listen on Wings 94.3 FM in the Auburn area, or if you're elsewhere in the state of Alabama on your local affiliate, go to auburntigers.com. Go to the Tournament Central page, and there will be a list of radio affiliates that you can listen on this weekend and beyond throughout the NCAA tournament. And then Auburn baseball will be in Lexington as well to face Kentucky. Brad Law will have to call all weekend long. Some of those games will be on Wings 94.3 FM. Depending on the Saturday game time, I might have to bump that game to ESPN 106.7 FM right here But we'll decide that on Friday when Auburn gets a win on Thursday and we get our game time. So that's the full list of it. It's a lot going on. We're excited for it.
I'm so impressed, Tillman. That was pretty good. I'll give you credit. That was pretty good. Almost as good as that golf swing is going to look on Friday afternoon up there. So make sure you swing them well, all right?
That's the goal. We'll see what happens when you take a four-month break and get back in the swing of things. But we'll see. We will have to see. I'll give you an update next Monday on my score.
Okay. I love it. That's what we'll talk to you next, my friend. Enjoy your trip. You guys be careful going up there. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for the time. War Eagle.
That's Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. Again, he's with us every single Monday at 3:30. You heard it. There's a lot going on right now around Auburn athletics with baseball, softball, basketball, you name it. They got it over at the Auburn Sports Network.
Yeah, and you feel like with how many games are going on against so many similar teams, you're actually having to pay attention to the bottom line that says men's basketball or men's baseball because so many common opponents. But yeah. A whole lot going on. No reason to not be tuning in.
We will take our final break. We'll come back and wrap it all up here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
War Eagle, this is Auburn baseball coach Butch Thompson, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins and Auburn Opelika sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Been a great show today. We appreciate Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network for joining us and going over a ton of things that are happening around Auburn Athletics, of course, and with the Auburn Sports Network, where they've got baseball tomorrow, softball Wednesday, basketball Thursday, baseball all weekend, and hopefully more basketball this weekend as well. So you can keep up with that with the Auburn Sports Network. And if you missed any of our show today, you can catch up with the podcast. Listen to the podcast at ESPNAU.com. You can check that out. Also, our Basketball Mayhem Contest. Be sure you are entering that, okay? Enter your bracket for chances to win great prizes, all right? Thanks for our wonderful sponsors. We will be filling out our bracket on Wednesday on the show. That's the big day for us to fill out our NCAA tournament bracket, our official one. I mean, mine's going to be perfect. So if you follow me, you're probably going to be in pretty good hands, okay? That's on Wednesday. Tomorrow, we've got Auburn Baseball Interview, right, our weekly segment there, plus Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, moving him up a day early because of our bracket show on Wednesday. And if you missed it, we're live on location on Thursday at Plaza Barn Lounge, thanks to Sensa Green Heating, Cooling, and Insulation. We're going to tell you more about it as the week goes on, but we are back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.